RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First, the headline. Indonesia aims to become world's largest coffee producer. Minister Budi Karya wants Soekarno-Hatta flights to increase to 120 per hour. And now the news in detail. Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman said that Indonesia is aiming to become the second largest coffee producer. Thus, Indonesian farmers are expected to step up production from 691,000 tons in 2016 to 1 million tons this year. He said in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesia is now in the fourth rank. Indonesia needs to increase production to 1 million tons. If this can be achieved, Indonesia will rank second in the world. Minister Amran also said that the world's largest coffee producer are Vietnam, Colombia, and Brazil. He added that the government's target is quite realistic considering that there are several regions in Indonesia that produce coffee such as Sulawesi, Aceh, and Bengkulu. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi affirms that he wants to increase flight frequency at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport to 120 takeoffs and landings per hour from the 81 currently. He said in Jakarta on Monday that the ministry wants to increase the frequency to 120 aircraft per hour in 3 to 4 years. This is reasonable with the improvement in rapid exit taxiways overlay and the construction of a third runway. Minister Budi said that his ministry had consulted UK-based air traffic services consultant NETS, which advised Heathrow Airport in the United Kingdom. He also said that the Heathrow operate two runways and manage to handle up to 100 flights per hour. So it is possible to increase Soekarno-Hatta's traffic, adding that the ministry is currently improving the standard operation procedure and necessary infrastructure to achieve the goal. Coordinating Minister for Economic Darmin Nasution affirmed that the government has to import salt following the lack of supply on the domestic market. He said in Pekanbaru, Riau on Monday that the government has no choice. It is already been done. The stock of salt are lacking. He said that salt import is the last resort to meet domestic demands due to high prices in the market. Minister Darmin said that Indonesia should not have experienced the lack of salt supply. He added that lesson can be learned from this case to provide more attention to salt farmers in the future. The government has to meet the farmers and the government will import salt from Australia, the nearest salt producer in the region. Central Board of Nahdlatul Ulama Chairman PBNU Sultan Fatoni advised the government to convey a proper socialization to the plan of using Hajj fund for infrastructure investment. He views that the idea is good, but this idea must be backed with Islamic perspective argumentation. He said in Jakarta on Monday that the government should wait and listen to the Nahdlatul Ulama's opinion. A new site will discuss hedge fund optimization on national meeting of Nahdlatul Ulama and the Nahdlatul Ulama Great Confederation Forum in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara on November 2017. PBNU will further discuss process and purpose of hedge fund optimization. Sultan assessed the need for in-depth study on hedge fund optimization, especially from the social, cultural, and religious aspect. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that Indonesian government is inviting the private sector to get involved in the development of light rail transit LRT system base area in and around Jakarta. Based on the result of a study, the government will offer the development of LRT system base areas or transit-oriented development, TOD, until Bogor, some 45 km south of Jakarta. Minister Luhut said in Jakarta on Monday that the government has decided to conduct a study on the development of LRT system from Bogor to Cibubur, East Jakarta, all at once. By doing so, the cost will be lower. The result of the study conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers TOD shows that the TOD will increase state revenue up to 10%. Minister Luhut also said that the government has offered the TOD in Bogor Cibubur section to the private sector. Earlier, Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi also said the government will offer the construction of LRT station or TOD in and around Jakarta to the private sector. The TOD concept means combining city planning with mass transport system. And the last item, a coordinated team from the East Jakarta Police and Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport security personnel has foiled an attempt to smuggle lobster larvae from Batam, Riau Island, which were hidden inside a suitcase. East Jakarta Police Sir Commander Andri Wibowo said, as quoted by Kompas.com on Monday, that the police found 13,600 lobster larvae packed in 68 plastic bags hidden inside an orange suitcase. He added that the discovery occurred when a security officer noticed the case was wet. Andri said that the suitcase was examined by X-ray and they found the lobster larvae. On the basis of police investigation, the suitcase belongs to a resident of Batam, identified only as A. Andri's team has departed to Batam to pick up A for questioning. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia aims to become world's largest coffee producer. Minister Budi Karya wants Soekarno-Hatta flights to increase to 120 per hour. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener commentary to the entitled in Preventing Cybercrime in Indonesia. On Saturday, July 29th, there was a raid on a house in Jakarta suspected to be a place of international cybercrime activities. This raid was jointly carried out by the Indonesian Police Task Force and the Police of the People's Republic of China. 27 people were arrested, all of them are China's nationals. According to information, they have committed crimes since March 2017. They claimed that their modus was that they pretended being police or prosecutors and they intimidated their victims who were allegedly involved in a particular case. The victims were threatened to freeze their accounts if not send some money. The victims are in fact Chinese citizens. this crime is revealed because there are reports of victims who were cheated. In addition to Jakarta, four other cities in Indonesia such as Bali, Batam, and Surabaya have also reportedly become places of cybercrime with the same modus operation. In addition, there is also another cybercrime that even targets children. Usually, the crime is through social media by way of sexual exploitation through online media. The government, through the Office of Women Empowerment and Child Protection of Semarang City, is anticipating the crime against the children by holding a foundation that cares for children, in addition to reminding parents as the first deterrent and protector in the face of this crime. There are seven social media commonly used by children, such as BBN, WhatsApp, Line, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pet. Allegedly, through the social media, cyberbullying frequently happened. Moreover, children are shown with pornographic content that is very easy to access or even become victims of sexual exploitation in cyberspace. Such fact is very alarming that Indonesia is now a target of cybercrime. The flow of modernization, especially through multimedia, cannot be stopped. Therefore, the public should be more vigilant and wiser to use social media, especially for the children. Parents must also be able to monitor their children and prevent the negative impacts. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening. I'm here, Mana Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, it's nice to meet you again through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta in Today in History. We start from the event on August 1, 1914, where the First World War officially began. World War First officially began with the announcement of the War of Germany against Russia on August 1, 1914. 3 days earlier, Austria also declared war on Serbia on the grounds of the assassination of the Austrian Crown Prince in Sarajevo. After waging a war against Russia, Germany also fought against France, and the war widened rapidly. In this war, Germany allied with Austria, Hungary, and Ottoman Turkey. Meanwhile, France, Britain, Russia, and Serbia joined the Allies group. The preparation of this war had actually started since long ago. Decades before the start of the war, major European countries were involved in arms rivalry and attempted to expand their colony regions. In addition, the idea of nationalism also strengthened in Europe. In this war, initially Germany and the Axis group almost won, but the US joined the Allied group, so the Allied forces grew bigger and eventually won. This war officially ended on November 11, 1918 by dropping 9 million people dead, 29 million disabled, and 5 million missing. In 1919, the parties involved in the war signed the Treaty of Versailles, which gave great fitness against Germany as the party that started the war. We continue our next event on August 1, 1975, where the final round meeting of the European Conference on Security and Cooperation is marked by the signing of the final act in Helsinki. The meeting of the Conference on Security and Cooperation in Europe, which was held in Helsinki, Finland, ended with the signing of the final act on August 1, 1975. There were 35 heads of states and governments from Europe, the United States and Canada gathered for the signing of the final acts. Heads of states and government that were present included President of the United States Gerald Ford and President of Russia Leonid Brezhnev. We end today in history with an event on August 1st, 1980, where Vigdis Finnbogadottir, the first woman who was elected as the president of Iceland. On August 1st, 1980, Vigdis Finnbogadottir was elected as president of the Republic of Iceland. She was the first female president who was elected in 1980. She served as president from 1980 to 1996. She was re-elected without opponents in 1984, 1988, and 1992. Vigdis Finnbogadottir also became the longest-serving president of all elected women presidents of every country up to date for 16 years. Listener, that was today in history of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of Focus today is Indonesia and South Korea develop jet fighters, KFX and IFX. Stay tuned. The governments of Indonesia and South Korea have established a very close bilateral cooperation in various fields such as economy, politics, and defense. The field of defense becomes one of the continuously improved cooperations. Both countries plan to develop a program of jet fighters, KFX and IFX. The KFX and IFX jet fighters are the kind of 4.5 generation with modern combat aircraft that will support the capabilities of the main weapon resistance of Indonesian Air Force, AU. Head of Research and Development at the Minister of Defense, Ana Kusmayanti, told media at the press conference at the Minister of Defense office in Jakarta on last Friday that KFX and IFX jet fighters are due to be launched in 2021 to get engineering certification. Meanwhile, the prototype will be operated in 2019. The latest fighter aircraft will be operated in 2030. Ana also said that this cooperation will be a strategy one to improve the independence of Indonesian forces on main weapon resistance in the future. In addition, Ana Kusmayati explained that the advanced aircraft requires cutting-edge technology over licenses from the United States, such as the electro-optical targeting system, AIROT, active electrochemical scan array, AESA radar, and signal hackers. Although the United States will not give to anyone the technology, including South Korea, to overcome this, Ana Kusmayati explained that she would invite the Indonesian government to improve diplomacy and communication with the countries producing these tools in order to issue a development license for Indonesia. On the other hand, Ana also explained that the license is not the only way. She views that to solve the problem, the governments of Indonesia and South Korea are visiting a number of equipment manufacturers that have the same technology to a number of companies in Europe. Ana also added that Indonesia should have a target to become a producing country of jet fighters and not just a buyer.
Program pengembangan ini tentunya memiliki satu sasaran strategis. Kita akan memenuhi rencana strategis dari pesawat tempur TNI AU dengan...
This development program must have a one strategic goal. We will fulfill the strategic plan of the Indonesia Air Force jet fighters with operational requirement for the year 2025-2040. Then Indonesia will increase its level of independence on main weapon system. So in the future, we will no longer be buyer, but in the future, we will be a seller. Surely, it will improve the performance of defense industry, and most importantly, we have the ability to produce later. This jet fighter will increase the deterrence effect. To support the development of the jet fighters, Ana Kusmayanti said that Indonesia sent 81 engineers from PT Dirgantara Indonesia to Korean Aerospace Industry, KAI, in the city of Sancheon to obtain a briefing on the system and standard working procedures at Korean Aerospace Industry. Meanwhile, Head of Center for Research and Development of Science and Technology of Defense at the Minister of Defense, Marshal Bambang Wijayanarko in a same event said that the jet fighters require technology tools that mostly come from U.S. companies such as Lockheed Martin. Bambang also explained that South Korea actually has access to the equipment development license because South Korea has already purchased a number of Lockheed Martin products such as F-35 jet fighters. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman said that Indonesia is aiming to become the second largest coffee producer. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi affirms that he wants to increase flight frequency at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport to 120 takeoffs and landings per hour from the 81 currently. Coordinating Minister for Economic Darmin Nasution affirmed that the government has to import salt following the lack of supply on the domestic market. Central Board of Nahdlatul Ulama Chairman PBNU Sultan Fatoni advised the government to convey a proper socialization to the plan of using Hajj fund for infrastructure investment. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that Indonesian government is inviting the private sector to get involved in the development of light rail transit LRT system based areas in and around Jakarta. And the last item, a coordinated team from the East Jakarta Police and Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport security personnel has foiled an attempt to smuggle lobster larvae from Batam, Riau Island, which were hidden inside a suitcase. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Buang Jung tradition. Stay tuned. Listeners, South Bangka District held Tobowali City Cultural Festival on Fire, or TCOF, on July 27 to 30. The festival was held to promote the favorite tourism destinations to foreign and domestic tourists. This year, the festival brings the theme about ethnic and cultural diversity. About 16 events were held to enliven the Tobowali City Cultural Festival on Fire. The series of events was centered in Nek Aji Seafield, Tobowali, South Bangka. Of the 16 events, there were several events themed the local cultural events that will be promoted and preserved. One of them is Buang Jung customary ritual, which is usually held for 1 week. Buangjung ritual custom is a customary ritual of Sawang tribe in Kumbung village, Lempar Pongok sub-district, South Bangka Regency. In the local language, Jung means a small boat, so the Buangjung customary ritual means a ritual performed by throwing a small boat into the sea. Usually, the seaweed is a miniature boat that contains offerings such as black-haired chicken. The customary ritual is performed as an effort to rest the sea. This means that there should be no activities undertaken at sea for a week since the June boat run. Within a week, the fishermen should not catch fish, kill marine life, including fishing. During a week, tourists are prohibited from snorkeling or diving. This customary ritual is also held to ask for protection and safety so that people always safe from disaster when sailing. Listener, Buangjung begins by making a miniature boat or ship as a form of personification or media license with the creator. The ritual begins at night around 9 p.m. After the customary elders read a spell of a symbol of the opening of the event, the local people sing poems that are considered to contain magical power while circling the miniature of the boat. They sing, accompanied by traditional music instruments of Sawang tribe. This event continues just over at dawn. The of the Buangjung ritual begins with a parade of vehicles carrying miniature boats to Mudong Beach. Upon arriving, the elders and tribal elders performed rituals and read some spells for preparing of the release of the boat. Then it is held a traditional dance of Sawang tribe by local youth accompanied by drum beating. After that, the boat is paraded in the middle of the ocean after previously performed rituals around the boat with the songs and poems by all ritual participants. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic the Buangjung tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Agency for Language Development and Development of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is ke salon kecantikan, or in English, a visit to the beauty salon. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Salon kecantikan. salon kecantikan. In English, beauty salon or beauty parlor. Mengapa? Mengapa? Why? Suka. Suka. To like. Karena. Karena. Because. Tidak jauh. Tidak jauh. Not far. Rumah. Rumah. House. Bagus. Bagus. Good. Murah. Murah. Cheap. Memberikan. Memberikan. To give. Potongan harga. Potongan harga. Discount. Tentu saja. Tentu saja. Of course. Pelanggan. Pelanggan. Regular. Mereka. Mereka. They. Ikut. Ikut. To come with. Semoga. Semoga. Hopefully. Mencoba. Mencoba. To try. Satu kali. Satu kali. Once. Jamin. Jamin. To guarantee. Next is a conversation on the salon kecantikan, or in English, a visit to the beauty salon. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Mary in the car. Mengapa kamu suka ke salon itu? Mengapa kamu suka ke salon itu? In English, why do you like that salon? Karena salon itu tidak jauh dari rumah saya. Karena salon itu tidak jauh dari rumah saya. Because that salon is not far from my house. Selain bagus, juga murah. Selain bagus, juga murah. Besides good, it is also cheap. Apakah mereka juga memberikan potongan harga? Apakah mereka juga memberikan potongan harga? Do they also give a discount? Tentu saja. Tentu saja, of course. Karena saya adalah pelanggan mereka. Karena saya adalah pelanggan mereka. Because I'm a regular customer. Mereka sering memberikan saya potongan harga. Mereka sering memberikan saya potongan harga. They often give me a discount. Kalau begitu, saya ikut dengan kamu. Kalau begitu, saya ikut dengan kamu. In that case, I'm coming with you. Semoga saya juga mendapatkan potongan harga. Semoga saya juga mendapatkan potongan harga. Hopefully, I also get a discount. Setelah mencoba satu kali, saya jamin kamu akan menjadi pelanggan salon itu. Setelah mencoba satu kali, saya jamin kamu akan menjadi pelanggan salon itu. After you've tried it once, I guarantee you'll become a regular of that salon. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in the regular Music Corner, the regular segment which introduces you to Indonesian music. Today's edition, we'll present you to Dangdut Song. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Jangan Sampai Tiga Kali by Ine Cynthia. Happy listening.
Satu kali kau sakit.
song Jangan Sampai Tiga Kali, composed by Tagore Pangaribuan, was originally a pop genre song and was firstly popularized by Trio Ambisi, a pop music group comprising singers from the Batak ethnic in North Sumatra. Ina Cynthia dedicated the song Jangan Sampai Tiga Kali with different versions, namely Dangdut Koplo. The song tells the story of someone who is often hurt by the lover. At the beginning of the song, you can hear the rhythm of pop music, but until the end of the song, Dangdut Koplo music dominates the song. The song Jangan Sampai Tiga Kali was released by Ina in 2016. For her, the song was a birthday gift. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Jurang Perpisahan by Ina Cynthia. Enjoy the song. The singer with full name Ina Cynthia Anggraini started her career as a pop singer. Then she joined the vocal group Manis Manja Group with Yulia Chitra, Kitty Nurbaiti, and Murni Chania. She also tested her musical ability by releasing solo album. Through her solo song entitled 5 Menit Lagi, Ina Cynthia's name then increasingly famous in the country's dangdut music industry. She also has released a lot of dangdut albums received by both Indonesia's dangdut lovers. At least 45 albums have been released. In 2014, she released an album entitled Curahan Hati Ina Cynthia that was inspired by many stories of her life. The album, which was made along with a number of the country's well-known musicians, has a leading song entitled Jurang Perpisahan. The song, composed by Hari B, and tells the story of a fragile love relationship. As the lyrics, the music of the song is so sad with the arrangement of dangdut classical music. Besides the song Jurang Perpisahan, there are some songs that are included in the Curahan Hati Ina Cynthia album, like a song entitled Surga Jadi Neraka and Salah Mencintaimu. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Surga Jadi Neraka and Salah Mencintaimu by Ina Cynthia. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
kau putuskan tali perkawinan ini, hidupku seakan terombang-ambing, bagaikan perahu tiada kemudi, tenggelam di telan gelombang lautan biru.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.